Amen. And yeah, so grateful to be here this morning, to be able to share the word with you this morning. So encouraging to come and just to lift up the name, just to be in His presence, just to sense His presence with us this morning. That is a great privilege and an honor to be here this morning. So thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for being with us. Father, we pray now, Lord, as we open Your word, Lord, as we come to bring Your word, Lord, that You'll come and help us this morning. You'll give us the strength to and guide us, Lord, and that any word that is not of You, Lord, that it'll fall to the ground. But Father, we pray that You will speak into our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're listening to Dave and listening to that very inspiring story of that young lady, and we think of the lepers, you know, we think of people in that time, in Jesus' time, they really were without hope, weren't they? They were the outcasts of society, and much probably the same today. We see the same happening today. They are outcasts and left out there. But, you know, I'm reminded of the times when those lepers did come. In Matthew chapter 8, we see leper coming to Jesus and worshiping Him and saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And I love what Jesus did. Jesus put out His hand and He touched him. Those were the untouchables. Nobody dared come near them. They were unclean. It was written in their law. They were unclean. They had to stay outside the cities. Couldn't come near. And Jesus touches him and says, I'm willing. Be cleansed. And immediately he was cleansed. His leprosy was gone. That's Jesus. He brought hope into them. I remember the 10 lepers that came to him. And they cried out from afar. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priests. And it was as they went, they were cleansed. He loved them. He saw their plight. And these were people that had no hope. There was nothing. They were outcasts. They didn't have any hope in life until one day they heard. They saw, there He is, Jesus. There's my hope. And they cried out, and He reached out and touched them. He wants to bring me to what I want to speak about this morning, and that is hope. Hope. You know, without hope, life means nothing. When you've lost hope, you lose life. Sadly, many young people, if you can have a look at any website, if you want, anywhere, you can Google it. What is the highest cause of death amongst teenagers and young people aged 20 to 34? It is suicide. Why do they do that? Because they've lost all hope. They fear there's nothing left in life for them. And life has become hollow and empty. They have lost all hope. And so they want to end it all. 1 Corinthians 13:13, a very well-known verse that I've quoted often over the last few weeks, is this. And now abide faith. That which remains is faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. And I recently spoke, as you remember, I spoke about faith, but that faith is actually tied to your love to God. And that faith will come when you're passionately in love with the Almighty. That is why the greatest commandment of all says you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, and all your soul. And if you love all the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, and your soul, you will find that out of that love, faith comes. And so this morning, I want to have a look at the third aspect of that, and that is hope. Hope. Faith, hope, and love. These three things will remain forever. In that scripture, it talks about all the other things of prophecy and tongues and all these other wonderful gifts that God has given to His church. And they shouldn't be neglected. But these three things, faith, hope, and love, they are the foundations of who God is. and who we are in God. And they will remain forever. They will never, ever fade away and die. So what is hope? What is this hope all about? Why is it in the middle there? Why is it said there's faith, hope, and love? We understand faith, we understand love. But hope, what is that all about? Well, let's have a look at what the Bible says, what hope is. So first of all, turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. I'm just going to read a few verses there verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, if you've got that. Jeremiah 17, from verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from the yielding of fruit. That's hope. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Now that sounds good. But hope, still, what is it? Romans 8, have a look there. Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. What does it say there? Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. Now, I want you to see this and read it. I want you to keep it in the back of your head as well. We're going to come back to this as well. We just read that blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Now, Romans 8, 24, 25 says this. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance. We'll come back to that. So hope is something you don't see. Remember that. You see, often in life, especially as human beings, our hope is in something we do see. Is something we do see or we want to see. Something real, something tangible. So we hope in something in life. We hope for a good life. We hope for a healthy life. We hope for a strong life, prosperous life. We hope for our children that they'll be good little children. They'll grow up to be good little grown-ups and they'll make us proud. That is our hope. We hope to get a good job. We hope to get a good future. We hope to get a good finance. We hope, we hope, we hope in the things that we see. But the Bible says, if you see it, that's not hope. And this is the problem we need to understand this morning. The hope that Jesus is talking about, the hope that the Bible talks about, is totally different to the hope that you and I think that hope is. And that is why so many people end up being without hope. Because we've got to understand what hope is. Because you see, the problem is, when your hope is in those things, inevitably they will fail. And some of them do fail. We do find that you might have a great job, and tomorrow you walk in and they say, sorry, sir, bye-bye. We don't need you anymore. And you walk out there, and what about your home then? You find out, I'm going to lose my home. They lose my car. They're going to come take away the things. I have no income. What's going to happen to my children? And your hope starts to fade. There's such hope that you had, maybe in your children, that they would grow up to be rich and famous and be doctors and world changers. And they end up as a disappointment. Your hope can't be in there. The hope that we have is a hope that we cannot see. You know, the rich, they probably put their hope in their finances. You know, just had a look at the richest guy in the world. You've probably heard his name. He's a little musky guy, isn't he? Born in South Africa. I looked at his wealth, $788 billion. They say he's soon to be the world's first trillionaire. Come on, I'd be happy with a millionaire. This guy's soon going to become a trillionaire. How much money is that? It's insane. Look at his life. They say he was married 3 times, twice to the same lady, who he divorced twice, by the way. Because he probably got the first one, eventually she ran out of, I don't know, good looks or whatever. Found another one that was better. Eventually got rid of her. Then decided she wasn't that bad, married her again, and found out, well, she's not that good anyway, and got rid of her again. He's now had umpteen relationships with others. He has, they say, 14 known children from different people. It tells me his hope is nowhere. What has his wealth brought him? This is the problem. When our hope is out there, we think, you know, God, if you'll only just bless me with this wealth. Lord, if Lord, just let me win that, you know, quietly win that, you know, that $1 million, you know, that 10 million. Lord, I promise you, I'll help this one, I'll help that one, and I'll be so blessed and I'll be so happy. And you find out maybe you do get that money and it's not very long and you're miserable again. Because someone else has run off with your money or done you in. Hope in the things that we see is worthless. You can hope in anything you want, but you know, in 1929, the biggest stock crash in the history of mankind ever occurred. 90% of the stock were wiped out. Imagine what will happen to Elon when that happens. He'll be as broke as I am overnight. Only difference is I'll be still happy. He won't. He'll think it's the end of the world. I think, what's new? You see, we can't hope in the things we don't see. But you know, the thing is, as Christians, we're not immune to it. And I think sometimes as Christians, we often more quietly lose hope. We might not say that, we might have a smile on our face, but inside, you know, because you've been disappointed. Maybe you've been disappointed by someone or another believer. Maybe you've been trusting God for a healing or for a certain prayer to be answered in your life, and time goes by and it ain't happening. And somehow you feel that hope within you start to wane a little bit. And that hope that you had in him, you're starting to doubt. You know, we might not say it out loud, but you know, inside you're thinking, Lord, you're not answering. Well, I've prayed so much about it and nothing's happening. And so you start to lose hope. And as Christians, we're not immune to it. How do we get hope? How do we get hope that the Bible talks about that abides forever? It doesn't rely on things that will fail you. That is immutable, that'll stand forevermore. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 said this, blessed is the man who hopes in what? In the Lord. In the Lord. And you might say, but I do hope in him. I do hope in Jesus. I pray to him every day to bring my healing, to bring about what I've asked for. I hope, my hope is in him to do this. I want to ask the question, is your hope in him or is your hope in what he's going to do? See, there's a difference. When your hope is looking at what he's going to do for you, to answer that prayer, to bring that healing, to bring that lost one in, to restore that restoration, to fix up the stuff that you think is messed up in your life. And if your hope is in that and it doesn't happen, that's when you start to lose hope. The Bible doesn't say hope in what Jesus is going to do for you. It simply says put your hope in Him. Put your hope in Him. That is what it's all about. Doesn't matter where else. And finances, everything can crash. That's why Jesus tells us not to put your faith in treasures here on earth. Don't gather things here on earth. Put them in heaven. Put your whatever is valuable to you, put it in heaven, not on earth. Because on earth, you will lose it. It will gather rust. The enemy is going to come and he's going to try and rob and steal you of it. But you put it in heaven with Jesus, where your heart is. You'll never lose it. Jesus puts the focus back there for us. But so, what is this hope then? Now, Colossians 1 verse 27 says this. You can, if you want to turn there quickly, just have a look. Colossians 1, 27. And he's talking to the church here in Colossians. Verse 27. Colossians 1, verse 27. And this is what it says. It says, to them, that's to the church and to the children of God, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery amongst the Gentiles. Of this mystery. What is this mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's the key. Again. So this hope is Christ in you to the hope of glory. That is the hope of Christ we're talking about. Christ in you. Not what Christ can do for you. We've got to understand that. This is why many, many Christians lose hope. They lose hope when they see failures in their own society. Maybe someone in church has hurt you. Someone has disappointed you. Maybe in your own family they've disappointed you, even though they're a believer and you've been hurt by them. And so you start to lose hope because you think, come on, this shouldn't be like this. Well, then your hope's in the wrong place. Your hope has to be Christ in you, not in anyone around you, not in the church, not in your fellow brothers and sisters. It's in Christ that is in you, the hope of glory. Because it is Christ in you that gives that eternal hope for you. Remember a few weeks ago, and I mentioned it last week as well, when we talked about this immense love of God and how that helps us with our faith when we truly love Him. And we asked the question last week, why is it that God doesn't intervene in all these things that go on in the world? Why doesn't He intervene in the war in Russia? Why doesn't He just go and solve it? Why doesn't He stop earthquakes? Why doesn't He step in and just change everything? Why doesn't He go in and sort out all the mess of the world today? Why didn't He step in? We could talk tonight about the Holocaust. Why didn't He step in the Holocaust? Why did He allow that? Why did He allow over 80 million people to die in World War II? 6 million Jews to be horrifically murdered. Why didn't He step in? When He's a God of love, isn't that what people ask? I can't believe in your God of love when He allows all this stuff to go on. But we saw the truth is that 2,000 years ago, He did step in. He stepped into this world. And He sent His only begotten Son to come and walk amongst us. And then to die on the cross. So that He says, whoever believes in Him shall never perish but have eternal life. See, He did step in. He could have solved world wars. He could have stopped them, but others would have broken out. He could have solved this problem, but another one would have existed. But because Jesus came, He solved the problem eternally. If you believe in Him. If you believe in Him. Then it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if you go outside and you walk on the street and a bus runs all over you. We just go straight to be with Jesus. Yeah, your body's a mess. Someone else has to clean that up. You're with Jesus, walking on streets of gold. Why would it have mattered had he stopped that boat, that bus, instantly, because you're a child of God, he stopped that boat, it stops miraculously, and you walk over the street. And then 5 years later, you die of old age. It's eternity that matters. That's why he stepped into the world, to bring the solution, eternal solution, not the here and now of our problems that we have on this earth. That is a love we don't understand. That is why he came. And it's the same with hope. He never said that we put our hope in anything in this world, not even on the things that Jesus can do for you, but you put your hope in Jesus Christ. You put your hope in Christ, eternal. It is something that is not seen. Doesn't it say that about faith in Hebrews? Faith is what? It is the substance of things what? Hoped for, of things unseen. Yes, unseen. But as human beings, we want to see. I want to see what he's going to do. I want to see the miracles. Well, then your hope's going to fall away. But if your hope is in him, eternal, who he is, Christ Jesus, that's entirely a different matter. You hope in world peace. You think if Trump's successful and he can stop this Ukrainian war, man, wouldn't that be great? Yeah, it'll be nice. Wouldn't it be great if his board of peace works and there's some sort of stability in the Middle East and everyone puts their weapons down and they live nice and happily? That'll be great. I tell you what, there'll still be problems in Africa, probably Venezuela, Guatemala, who knows? There'll be problems elsewhere. Your hope can't be in anything of this world. It's got to be in Christ. So does that mean then that every Christian that is born again has this hope and we never lose it? No, it doesn't. Unfortunately not. I wish it did. But you see, as a Christian, when you're born again and you become a born again believer, the day you're born again and you're washed of your sin, man, do you have hope. Whoa. Your hope is like, whoa, way out there. Everything is brand new. And it's like none of the cares of the world get to you. You're like just a new person. You're just like walking in this. It's like you're walking on a cloud, man. It's like nothing can faze you. But unfortunately, as life goes on and you become a Christian and 1 year goes past, 2 years goes past, and you go to a church and then you find out there's an old grumpy guy sitting next to you and another guy gives you a hard time and you start rubbing shoulders with these people and then you realize, hang on a second, you're not quite, you know, it's not, I thought it was going to be just like, walking on a cloud all the time. And then you find out it isn't. And so unfortunately, as a Christian, when we walk in life, sometimes we get disappointed and then hope fades. And it's when that hope fades, especially as a believer, even as a believer, not just a person in the world, as a believer, when that hope fades, we are in grave, grave danger. Because I tell you, a person that has lost hope doesn't have the will to live anymore. And God help us that we never, ever lose hope. We can't. This is why he says, now these three, faith, hope, and love, they abide, they stick around forever. That's what we hold on to, and we hold on to this faith. How do we make sure then that this hope is secure in us? Can I go and say, okay, Lord, I really want this hope, I really want to stick around now. I want to be firm not just today and tomorrow I'm hopeless again. I want to be filled with hope all the time. How do we do that? Well, I suppose if we look at the Bible, it might give us a good idea. I love it. The Bible normally has the answers in Romans chapter 5. If you want to turn there with me. Romans chapter 5. So this is how you get hope. Therefore, Romans chapter 5 from verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you've been justified by faith, I trust so this morning. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been justified, you have peace this morning. If not, come and make peace. Don't you dare walk out of here. You make peace with him this morning, right? Through whom we also have access in faith into this grace which we stand and rejoice in what? In the hope of the glory of God. Right. And not only that, but we also, oh dear, glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Oh dear. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is poured upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit is given to us. And not only that, verse 3, but we glory in tribulations. I love glorying in the fact that I have peace with God. I love glorying in the fact that I know my Lord and my Savior lives. Hang on a second, but he carries on. He says, but I also glory in the fact that I have tribulations. Oh, that's probably not what you wanted to hear how to get hope. The first two was nice. But actually it says, no. Hope comes through something else. Hope comes as a result of tribulations, which produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and that character produces hope. Strangest thing, isn't it? In the world, you go through trouble, does that raise your hope? No. In a world when I go through trouble, man, hope flies out the window. I lose hope. Every time we face hassles in the world, we lose hope. That's how the world hope works. That's why people give up, because they have too much trouble. We don't find them giving up when they have everything in life and everything is rosy and they're as happy as can be and say, all right, that's enough, I want to give up on life because I'm just too happy. It doesn't work like that. It's when things go wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and they lose hope and they lose hope and they lose hope to the point where they quit. I can't handle it anymore. Isn't it the strangest thing that the Bible says the exact opposite for you? It says, no, in Christ Jesus, when you suffer and you go through trials and you go through temptations, you persevere through them, you will find that you are building a character, and that character gives hope. Well, how does that work then? I'm reminded of our disciples. These guys, do you know they went through a tough time? They spent more time probably being beaten and thrown in jail than they did on the free world, walking around proclaiming the gospel. These guys were in jail over and over again. Did they lose hope? No. Matter of fact, when they were in jail, they would sit there, all chained, started singing and worshiping the Most High God and praising his holy name. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is Lord. Hallelujah. In chains. Instead of losing hope, they got more hope. And they get so much hope that the chains just pop off. You see, they did. It's through those trials. Paul, how many times does he tell you he was beaten and scorned and scoffed upon and ready to die? Did that discourage him? No, that motivated him. That gave him more hope. I mean, I can imagine the frustration of the people at that time who were trying to put them down, thinking, come on, how many times must we put you in jail? You just will not give up. They would beat them and whip them. And they would rejoice even more. Because it was through that persevering, man, that they were becoming so strong. And they had this hope in him because they knew the glory that there was in Christ Jesus. They saw it for their own eyes. The disciples saw it when they were standing him on the mount. And the next minute, he was covered in glory. And they knew, this is what's waiting for me. So heck, I'm not going to keep quiet. I'm not going to lose hope because they beat me. No, they don't. Imagine this. You raise a child. Now you, some of you, maybe you know what I'm talking about. You raise a child, and everything he asks for, you give him. He wants money? Sure, sonny. How much do you want? Can I have a sweetie? Yes, plenty. Whatever they want, you give them. You never say no. When he grows up, Daddy, I want a car. What color, what kind, my son? You can have it, whatever you want. I'll buy you a house, whatever you want. What character do you think that child's going to have? Nothing. He goes out to work, and he says to his boss, I want to go home early. His boss says, no, you're not. And he's going to throw a tantrum because he doesn't know what it's like to be opposed. He doesn't know what it's like to have something against him, and he'll fall apart. It's the same with you and me. God allows these things in our lives to have to toughen us up and to give us hope, to make sure our hope is definitely on him and not on those around us, because then you will lose hope. Through those hard times, and that's the hard thing. When the hard times hit, it is often hard. And don't mess around. Any child of God has that time. When the hard times hit, it is hard not to lose hope. Especially when you've been hurt amongst your own family and your own friends and maybe your own brethren or sisters in church or someone has hurt you. It is hard not to lose hope. When a spouse has let you down, when they've left you, and they left you and abandoned you, and you're out there, they've let you. It's hard not to lose hope in this hard time. So how do I get there through these hard times and know that I can have this hope, and this hope is secure? It'll stay with me. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 quickly. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. This is an amazing piece of scripture, this, really. We'll pick it up from verse 13. Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by anyone greater, he, that is God, swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus, God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise. Are you an heir of the promise? Yes, you are. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things which it is impossible for God to live, we might have strong consolation who have fled for the refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters his presence beyond the veil, where the forerunner was entered for us, Jesus, becoming the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. That is an incredible statement, my friend. I want you to think of that just for one moment. This is God, the Most High God, making an oath with you, the heirs of Abraham's promise. God himself makes an oath and says, if you held onto this hope that is in Christ Jesus, it is a hope that he guarantees will be secure. It'll be an anchor to your soul and steadfast and will never let you go. I think that is amazing. Now look at it this way. Let's say, for example, you knew of a wealthy relative or someone who was extremely powerful. Maybe the king, who knows? But that person comes to you one day and says, listen, I'm swearing an oath to you on whatever he can, the highest thing he can think, maybe even his own life, that I will look after you no matter what. I will be there for you wherever you go. Whether your need is financial, whether your need is what, it doesn't matter, I'll be there. I have the best lawyers in the world. I have absolutely undeniable wealth. I can help you. How would you feel? I kind of think I'll feel kind of great. I'll go to work, and if someone messes with me, I think you have no idea who's standing behind me. A guy at work is going to threaten me. I'm going to do this and this and this to you. I think you don't know what you're talking about, my friend. You don't know who's given an oath to me. Come on, we've got the Most High God that has given an oath to his children and has sworn by it that if you put your hope in him, he will never, ever, ever disappoint you. Everything else in this world will disappoint you, but he never will. We have this hope as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. That is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. These are not just mere words, friends. This is an oath sworn by the Most High God. That is the hope he's talking about. That is the hope that you and I have. We have to hold on to that. It is unshakable. It is backed by God himself. This hope, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But what is this glory then? What is this glory that we have? So we have this hope of Christ in you. It's not the hope that we have of what Christ is going to do for you. You must understand, as a child of God, we have the right to be healed because he paid on the cross for you and for me. And by his stripes, you are healed. He gave us the assurance in his word that we will lay hands on the sick and pray for them. They will be healed. God gave us many, many gifts and promises in these words. These we have. He says, you will walk and you will tread on a serpent. It'll bite you, do you no harm, just like Paul. When the serpent bit him, he simply shook it off into the fire and didn't even care about it. He didn't go build a ministry on biting snakes. He just went on with what God called him to do. These things, as God's children, he's given to us as his children. We have them, and we can do it under the authority of his name. But that's not where our hope is. It's not tied to that. Our hope is not into these miracles and that miracles. And then we hear about miracles. Then we run off. We want to go see those miracles. The hope the Bible talks about, it cannot be seen. So if you think your hope is going to rise up by running off to somewhere where they say there's great miracles taking place and you want to see all this stuff, yeah, it's nice to see. It'll be good to see all those healings when it takes place. But if your hope is there, you'll be disappointed. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. It is in the hope of his glory. It is in the hope of the glory in Christ you hope. What is that glory? And I want to take you back to Romans chapter 8 then. Romans chapter 8. Let's go back there for a second. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. And here we have it again. Remember what it says, how we get hope. Tribulations. That brings perseverance. Perseverance brings character. And so what does it say in Romans chapter 8? Moaning again about the suffering that they go through. No. I consider the sufferings at the present time, they are not worthy to be compared to the glory, which is what we talk about, which shall be revealed in us. This is your hope. This is the key. Your hope is in Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. What glory? This glory. He says, I consider the suffering that we go nothing compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. What's going to be revealed in us? The next verse tells you. For the earnest expectations are the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons. What's going to happen to the sons of God? 1 John 3, I'll just read it to you. 1 John 3 verse 2 tells you that what it is. What is this glory that we're looking for? What is this revealing of us? That even the creation, the very earth is waiting for. It's longing for. The Bible says it's groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. Something in you and me is going to happen that even the earth can't wait anymore to see it. What is this glory that's going to happen? 1 John 3 verse 2 says this. It says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not yet revealed what we shall be. But we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Or we shall see him as he is. And then he says, for anyone who has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. That's the hope you have, my friend. That one day you will be like him. That is an amazing thought. You know, we've been talking about angels in our home group. And they are ferocious beings. They are beautiful beings. I mean, I'd love to see one. I'm sure you would. If the Lord doesn't make my heart fail when I do. They are beautiful beings created by God. When God reveals them and we see them in their majesty, you have the seraphim. I mean, Ezekiel, these guys, they talk about, they had the privilege of seeing it, talking about these angels with six wings, you know, covering their face and their bodies and their legs. And they flew that excellent, and they fly and... And it says at one stage, the seraphim's wings touched each other. And just when their wings touched each other, it sounded like a roar of the entire sea. I mean, come on. These are ferocious beings. I wouldn't mind looking like that. But the Bible says more, my friend. You will be like Jesus. Think of that for a moment. Because you will see him as he is. He's going to be, you're going to be like him. Why? Why? Why will you be different to the angels? We're not going to go up there and get a harp and a pair of wings and a little fluffy cloud to go and sit on. No. Those are angelic beings created by God himself. They have a purpose of which we have very limited understanding. Some of them are warriors. Some of them are messengers. Some of them are worshipers. We will be different. We will be like Jesus. That's the glory and the hope you have this morning. That one day you will see him face to face and you're going to be like him. And then, my friend, worrying about the Ukraine war is going to seem so silly. Worrying about my sore back not being healed is going to seem so silly. Worrying about what I went through on this earth is going to seem so strange when I see him face to face. And in an instant, I will be like him. Think of that. I find it almost hard to think and imagine. I cannot begin to imagine when you think of the purity of God. You think of heaven. You think of the angelic beings and their worship before the throne. That when a speck of sin came into Lucifer's heart, he was cast out instantly out of heaven and thrown on this earth. Nothing impure comes there. It is pure glory, pure joy, pure everything. And you think of what the Bible says, the New Jerusalem is going to be like streets of gold and the foundations of every precious stone that there ever is, sapphires and gems. I mean, come on. If I just buy a tiny little sapphire, it costs me a fortune. This, the entire foundation of Jerusalem, is going to be made of that stuff, of the most purest form you can ever imagine. And in this body, I would never be able to walk those streets. I'd make them muddy. But when we walk them, we'll be like Jesus, because we'll see him just as he is. We'll see him just as he is. Now, faith, hope, and love. These three, they will always remain. But the greatest is love. Why? Because it's love that's the glue of the three. It's your love for the Father that gives you the faith. And when you love the Father and you have the faith that goes with that love, you find hope rises within you. You see why those three are there? Those three. They cannot be separated. And they're bound with the glue of love to your Heavenly Father. If we don't love Him, you won't have any faith. You won't have any hope. You want hope? Draw near to Him. You want faith? Draw near to Him. And then nothing else matters. No matter what happens around you, it simply wouldn't matter. You want to say to you this morning, you've been let down, you feel disappointed, hope slipping away from you. I believe this message is for you this morning. Take hope. Take your focus of what's let you down and return it to where it should have been in the first place. It's so easy to take our focus off and drift away because we've been hurt, because of the issues of life. Take your focus back this morning and put it back into Him, the hope of glory. Remember who you're going to be one day. Never, ever forget that. Remember, you'll be like Him. And you know what sounds ridiculous, but you know why you will be like Him? Because you have His blood. Because it's His blood that's cleansed you. He never did that for any angel. He did that for you and for me, if you accept it. You have His blood that has washed you, my friend, whiter than wool. Even though they were scarlet, they'll be as white as wool. As white as snow, pure, 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 purchased by the Lamb Himself. As you see Him face to face, you'll be transformed to be like Him. I trust that gives you hope this morning. In Jesus' name. Dave and Jill, thank you. As they come forward and lead us in this song in closing this morning, just bow your heads as we just come before the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you that our hope is in you. Thank you that we don't have to look to the world for hope. Thank you we don't have to look to anything the world can offer for hope, but that we can look to you. Our steadfast hope is in you. Our trust is in you. And in you alone, that hope of glory, that one day we're going to see you face to face, and we look forward to that precious day, Lord, that we can, not even as lovely as we have here, a time of worshiping and coming before you and singing and bringing honor to your name. That's wonderful, Lord, but so we look forward to that day when we can see you face to face, our Heavenly Father. We can come before the throne of grace because of your blood, because of what you've done, and we can come before you and say thank you and fall at your feet and look up and be transformed and be like you. Because of what you've done. Thank you for that hope that you've given us, Lord. Forgive us the times that we've taken our eyes off it, Lord, and put it back on circumstances and things around us. But help us this morning to focus it back on you, our Heavenly Father, to put our hope in you, one that has been guaranteed by you for all eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Will you stand with me?